There was an idea called the
Nerd
Initiative. The idea was to bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they could become something more. See if they could work together when we needed them to fight the battles that we never could.
Welcome everyone, Leo here with the Nerd Initiative, and thank you for listening. This will be episode 10 of our podcast. We got Kevin here again, as always.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
We're hoping to get a third party in, hopefully sometime within this half hour, hour that we record. So we're working on that. But let's go ahead and get started. Some happenings that went on the past few days. Leonard Nimoy, Spock, passed away. This was a few days ago, right?
Yeah, about a few days ago.
So Leonard Nimoy was, I guess, the one of the reasons nerdy things were cool, you know, because of Star Trek and all that. So his death, I guess, was unexpected, but I was reading on social media, you know, people were saying it's kind of expected because he was hospitalized the day before. I believe it was the day before he was hospitalized.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, so some people kind of saw it. So that's one of the biggest news that came about. This was on the 27th. That Leonard Nimoy passed away. So, rest in peace, Mr. Nimoy.
Yeah, rest in peace, Leonard Nimoy, a.k.a. Mr. Spock.
Yep. And what is it? Live long and prosper? Prosper?
Yeah. A lot of people are saying he lived long and prospered.
There you go. So,
yeah, you did live a long life. The quick thing on Leonard Nimoy. I'm not a huge Star Trek fan,
right?
To be honest, but out of all the characters on that show, he's like the one that sticks out to me the most. So
I think he did with everybody, though.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody was all about, you know, Captain Kirk, but it was just because I don't know what it was about him, but for me, it was Spock. So Leonard Nimoy. So.
Well, I mean, and then so you got, and I believe there's rumor has it. I mean, have you seen the two J.J. Abrams Star Trek films?
Yeah, the reboots.
Yeah, you've seen those, right?
Yeah,
And, you know, he makes an appearance, and they're scheduled to release a third Star Trek. And I guess there's rumor, or William Shatner had hinted that him and Leonard Nimoy will make an appearance in the third one.
Man.
But hopefully, I mean, Zachary Quinto, he's a great Spock.
Yes, well. He is, actually. He sells it for me a lot.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll continue to, you know, please the fans with his performance as Spock.
Right.
What else? I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, I missed something. I'm trying to look at now. I'm feeling 22 online. I was like, what does that mean?
Taylor Swift, dude.
Oh.
Anyways.
Yeah, plonk, right above my head.
UFC 184.
Well, I didn't have to watch it. I can tell you that.
I ordered the pay-per-view. I had a couple buddies over, you know, got some grub and, you know, we hung out, and we watched the main card, and leading up to, of course, the main event, which was Ronda Rousey and Kat Zingano. Okay, I love both fighters. I'm fans of both. I admire the respect and professionalism and sportsmanship that they both show to each other. Ronda's known for intimidating her opponents, talking a lot of trash, this and that, and she really didn't this time around. And she even admitted that Kat Zingano was going to be one of her toughest opponents. And it's good because it will allow Ronda to show the fans out there her true potential.
Right.
Unfortunately, she didn't get to show her full potential.
Well, maybe she did.
Yeah, you know, it was good. Skill,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, being able to pull that off.
That kind of armbar kind of thing?
Quick and all that. I mean, hell, I wouldn't be able to do that. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's so instinctive
the way she is.
I mean, she's aware of, like, every body part.
Right.
You know, it just amazed me.
And Kat Zingano, I really wanted her to win. She's been through a lot. She was number one contender. She was going to go on the Ultimate Fighter TV show to train a team against Ronda Rousey's team. And unfortunately, she had a knee injury.
Mm.
And once that was done, her husband had taken his own life. Right after that.
Wow.
So she has been through a lot. They have a kid together and everything, and she's just been through a lot. And
I can see why you're rooting for her. I mean,
I think,
I can see why.
Yeah, I think I saw the disappointment in her when she lost last night, and it sucks. I really think she should have. I mean, it was a mistake on her part, whether it was her rushing in right when the bell rang, rushing in, getting in there with that flying knee and getting caught up, or, you know, just rolling on the mat with Ronda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it could be one of those two things, but I think she might have been just too excited, you know.
It has been a while since she's fought again, right?
Right. Well, yeah. No, she had a fight not too long ago, and she won, which gave her that opportunity.
Okay.
You know, I just think she could have done better. I know she could have done better, you know, and everybody knows that, regardless of how dangerous and damaging Ronda is on the, you know, in the ring or in the octagon. Everybody, there's no way you can't deny that Kat Zingano, you know, does have that skill to stick right with her. And I just think, you know, she could have done a lot better, and I mean, it sucks, you know. Seeing her after she lost, she was pissed. I don't know if you saw the post fight interview with Joe Rogan. Did you see that?
No, I didn't get to see it. I mean, no, I honestly, man, I just saw it on Facebook. I kind of just wanted to watch it off of Facebook, and I didn't get a chance to see like any commentary or nothing off afterwards.
I mean, just because Joe Rogan was talking to her, and all she could say, you know, he was just like, what do you have to say? And all she was like, fuck. Like, literally, that's all she said. And then she, you know, wow. She said a little bit more, and, you know, but she was just like, I want to do this again, you know, this and that. And I was just reading up some stuff online and earlier, and, you know, Rousey wants to do it, you know. What was weird was, like, right after the bell rang, mm-hmm. Ronda did her thing, cheering and stuff, and she walked up to Zingano. Zingano was kneeling on the ground. She walked up to her, hugged her, you know, and I guess from what I was reading, she told her that, you know, she would be happy to do it again.
Wow.
You know, and coming from Ronda Rousey, dude, I don't know if you've seen her background and her.
Oh, yeah, she's not that kind of type.
Right, and
she's like the bad boy.
Yeah.
Like Tito Ortiz, to be honest.
Yeah, on camera.
Yeah.
You know, and in person, I've met her a couple times, and she's nice, just hella nice. And to see her do that, I was like, wow, okay. You know, and Dana White had said something about, during an interview, they were doing a conference, a post-fight conference with Zingano, and, you know, she, of course, saying she wants to do it again. She already wants to fight number two, which is Misha Tate. Or no, is that Misha Tate? No, Misha Tate's number one. I forgot who number two is, but she wants to take on the number two contender for that number one spot.
Okay.
Which I believe I would say it is Misha Tate, but and Dana White, you know, he's like, when you're ready, let's make it happen. you know, basically. So hopefully we get to see them two go. Yeah, I want to see them two go at it again. Again with the series of events that happened with Kat in the past. I would have loved for her to win that title. You know, not beat Ronda. I would just win that title.
I know what you're saying. Yeah,
it's not about beating that person. It's about taking that belt.
Right, right.
So, yeah. So aside from that, today is Sunday, March 1st, and of course it is Walking Dead Day.
Yes, it is.
And we had just seen episode. It is episode 12. Titled. What?
The New Bad Guys?
Huh?
Remember, right?
Yeah, but why'd you say bad guys?
No. You know how when you hit Google and it gives you all these options? Stupid. I was reading, it goes, The New Bad Guys.
Oh.
So I thought that was the name of the episode. And I was like, that's not the name of the episode. I don't remember. Huh? Remember that. So.
Yeah, it's called Remember, right?
Right. Do you remember it?
Do you remember it?
I don't know. Do you remember?
Well, it's episode 12, right? Remember. Remember?
Yeah, I remember. Now I remember. Yeah, it's coming to me now.
Okay, so...
So...
The group is finally in Alexandria.
Yep.
And they go through these... interviews, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
With, what's her name again?
Diana Monroe.
Is that her name on the show?
Yeah, I think it's Diana Monroe. Yeah, on the show. I don't know if it's Diana or Deanna.
Oh, Deanna. It's Deanna.
Is Deanna? I spelled it wrong. Okay.
It's Deanna. So they meet this lady, Deanna, and she's kind of like the governor.
She's kind of like the governor.
Gareth,
or,
you know, just the leader of Alexandria. The Alexandria safe zone, right?
Right.
And she is basically wanting to interview each person one by one just to get a feel of them. And, you know, she said she used to be a professional poker player.
No, she was running for office she was running for something. Then she said, or I could have been a professional poker player.
Oh, there you go. Okay. See, yeah. I wasn't paying attention. And so she's trying to read each member of the group.
Right.
So she interviews each and every one of them, throughout the show to see how they are. And then she offers them jobs, or she gives them jobs.
Right.
Just as if it were, right before the apocalypse.
Right. To contribute to the community.
Right. And
She gives them all jobs except for three.
Right. Who's the three? Sasha?
No. Well, four then, because Daryl don't have one.
Oh, yeah, Daryl, Sasha.
Then Rick and Michonne at that time in the episode. It was like beginning.
And they offer, you know, they give the group two houses, right?
Yeah.
I believe it's two houses. I don't know if they're going to house each person in, you know.
Their own house?
Yeah, or if the two houses that are in the episode, one is for one, you know, half of them, the other's for the other half.
Well, they were trying to split them. Well, I think they do all have their own house because I know at the end. Well, I won't go too far, but so I remember in the beginning, Rick was like, Rick and Carol, I think we're talking. It's like they're trying to separate us.
Yeah.
And Rick is like, no, we're all going to stay in one house.
You know, just for that night, though.
Yeah. So he wasn't playing the whole two house thing in the beginning. But well, I think everybody ends up.
Because Carol said the houses are next to each other.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe we'll find out more next episode on that.
Yeah, it had me... I don't know how relevant it is to it, but it did seem like everybody gets their own house because almost everybody in the community had their own house.
Right.
So that was kind of pretty neat.
Yeah. So,
Well, the beginning, real quick, the beginning. So you know how right, in the beginning of the episode, the left off, I mean, immediately from the last episode, right? So the gates are opening.
Yeah.
And they got startled in the beginning. Do you remember that part?
Yeah, the possum.
Yeah. And when he opened up the doors, Daryl goes, we brought dinner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was like my best part. This whole episode had me kind of busting up, to be honest with you.
I mean, overall, I thought this episode was great.
Yeah, it was great because it's a different. Well, they're trying to be, you know, still on guard, of course. But at the same time, you're starting to see them with so much hope and so much. They're already kind of molding in quickly, kind of too quickly, to be honest. A lot of them are.
Yeah, they are.
You know, like. Well, Carol's a perfect example. She was already.
Well, I'll jump in on that one.
Yeah.
So you're saying.
Go ahead.
You're saying Carol's blending in.
A lot. Yeah, but quicker. I can't. I don't know if she's up to that or she's just do. You it's kind of hard to.
She's hard faking to it.
Yeah,
she's
that's what I was gonna say.
She's because trying to give that persona that she's this soft.
The softest one of the group, right? The weakest.
But you know she'll kill anybody if she has to.
Yeah, she'll murder you, you know. But yeah, because she called herself the Den Mother.
Right.
And she was smiling. And I tweeted about that. I was like, man, I missed her smile. Regardless if it was fake or not, I kind of missed her just being like that, period. But yeah, it was kind of funny because, you know, she got dressed up to go do her job. She got her job. And then she came out the house and Daryl looked at her like, what the hell? Is that how you look before all this happened? Because, you know, she was wearing like some, you know, she kind of like dressed her age, I guess you could say.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Daryl goes, man, you look ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, that was funny. But so that's what I was going to say. I go, it's either she wanted to work so quickly or she was faking it.
Yeah, I strongly believe she was faking it. Again, because they, you know, she doesn't want them. She's trying to throw them off.
Right, right.
You know, and yeah, so she's definitely got to be faking it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Just because there's still they don't trust this group.
Right.
You know. So who knows? I mean, again, we have what, three more episodes.
Three more episodes to the 90-minute episode.
So, we'll see what happens there. What else happened? The comic book. You had tweeted something about the comic book. So, Carl meets up with a group of kids there. There's a new character named Jessie. We'll get to her. She's introduced, and she has two children. And I believe one's a teenager.
Yeah, one's a teenager, like Carl's age. Similar to Carl's age. Not sure about the other child, but then she also has a husband, I believe.
Yes. So we'll get to that. That's its own thing. But you mentioned something about a comic book. I did not. Maybe I wasn't paying attention.
So Carl, so they let them all explore because that's what Rick and all of them are doing. And I think Carl went into the opposite house to go check things out.
Right.
And went up into, I would guess you could say the attic. You know, we don't have those in the West Coast.
Yeah.
So they're up in the, he was going to go explore, you know, of course he was, you know, prepared to enter the room with his knife and it seemed like it was just like a, I guess a high school hangout, a lot of CDs, things just pertinent to kids in high school nowadays.
Right.
So as Carl's exploring everything, he picks up a comic book and it says Wolf Fight on the back of it. You know how there's advertisements on back of comic books?
Yeah.
It was Blaine, it was a black background and white lettering said Wolf Fight. So I was tweeting the hell out of that and I was like, wow, is this an Easter egg? Because I mean they didn't give it a money shot where it was like all like the main, like you could see the entire comic book, 8.5 by 11 comic book.
Yeah.
It was like probably 2 inches of it.
Well,
just the header, which was pretty cool.
Well, Chris Hardwick mentioned right before The Talking Dead that there's a, or before a commercial break, about an Easter egg. You might have caught it.
Yeah, that could be it.
I
saw another one, but I don't know if it was. Is this me tripping on season one? So And I know you're gonna, we're going to talk about Jesse in a minute. So, but yeah. So I think that's what it was. I think that's what it was. I think it was the wolf fight. But, and that's because only because we've been talking back and forth. I don't know nothing about the comic book, but I'm more, you know, I'm trying to be more observant now for all these hints.
But the wolf fight you're talking about, you're referencing the wolves.
Right, right. Because you brought that up, I think, two podcasts ago. We were talking about the, you know, Negan and his, wolves and something else. But wasn't there two groups?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Isn't there two groups? Negan's not part of the wolves, right? Or he is?
No, no. Yeah.
So that's what I thought I saw. I don't know if they're, trying to also throw you off too, but.
Yeah. I don't know, but that's a good catch again.
Yeah.
But your other one that you said you caught.
So let's talk about Jesse. So what were you going to say about her?
That I love her. So Jesse is played by Alexandra Breckenridge. And she's gorgeous.
Yes, she is.
Maggie, I'm sorry. You're done. Wow, She's done. That's
wow. It. You should be a writer for The Walking Dead, man, and just start writing people off. Like, oh, you're dead. You're going to get bitten by a gopher.
Yep. For the 1 second that we saw Maggie in tonight's episode,
yeah,
it's like, wow. I'm so happy they introduced, you know, Alexandra Breckenridge. So she plays Jesse. Jesse Anderson, I believe.
I think so.
And she basically gets introduced by, you know, Rick's new look. Okay, we didn't talk about that, but Rick decides to shave his beard and cut his hair. And Jesse's actually the one that does cut his hair. And they have, you know, make short conversation. And in the comics, Jesse has a relationship with Rick.
Okay, because that's what I was reading already.
Which, her husband, what was his name? Did they say his name? I forgot his name.
Yeah, they said Hader.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man, that was a good saying, man.
His first name is Hader.
Second name is Jealous.
Yeah.
Last name
is Anderson.
Oh, Hader Jealous Anderson. That's correct.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I don't think they said. He just said you met my wife. Oh, he did say his name, but I didn't catch it. I actually didn't care.
No, it was Pete.
Pete.
Yeah. So
sounds like a hater.
Pete Anderson is played by Corey Brill. He's another new character. He is the husband of Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
And in the comics, he was this abusive husband.
Oh,
right. And Rick ends up killing him.
Oh, oh, oh. The plot thickens.
Yeah, it's turning into a real drama. Yeah.
So that's funny you say that, because remember in season one when Rick ran into the main group, and you know it was Carol.
Yeah,
and her husband, right?
Uh huh.
And she had an abusive husband. Now who beat him up? Do you remember in season one?
Oh, yeah. Shane.
Okay. So remember when Rick was having a moment and he was coming out the shower and he was just looking himself in the mirror?
Shane.
Right.
Yeah.
Shane had that same exact moment. He was showering. They went, looked in the mirror and started shaving.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I thought about that too.
I thought that was pretty iconic, you know, I don't know if it was iconic, but it was kind of stuck out a lot to me because I was like, hey, man, I remember the exact same thing happening. It was, you know, it was to Shane, but yeah, so that was weird. That's why I was waiting for you to bring up Jesse, because, so, anyways, going forward then, so Rick's clean cut now.
And, yeah, and,
and he walks outside and runs into the first person who saw him clean cut.
Who?
Carol. Did you see that moment?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they were all, like, in the room, though.
And yeah, but when he came out, like, Carol gave him that, like...
Yeah, she said she's never seen him, like... Or didn't she make a comment to him?
She made a comment, but I didn't catch that. Because I was like... I don't expect a lot from Carol and Rick as far as connection goes. But when he came out, she was like, She almost, like, licked her lips. I could have swore I almost saw that.
Well, oh, it was Michonne that made the comment.
Yeah, I think it was Michonne. Oh, so I guess it wasn't the first person to saw him.
No, it's, I don't know the series of events, but Michonne had told him, like, she's never seen him like that before, or...
Right.
And then he mentioned that it was before and after, or something. But, anyways. But
yeah, so I thought that was pretty neat. So, I'm going off of my Twitter feed. I've been... for those who don't know, I have my Twitter is it's Heavy Kev, and I'm on Twitter. And so I was trying to tweet as things kind of like popped out to me throughout the episode. So do you remember Michonne having her interview?
Somewhat.
So I don't know if this was any relevance or anything, but in her hand she was holding a book.
Okay.
And it was Crime Without Punishment.
Okay.
What is that book? Is that a novel or is that like...
I don't know.
I don't know why that stuck out to me, but it was like... Usually when you have things like that in any show, or you can't really read the titles of anything.
Yeah.
So why would that be so apparent? I mean, it was like blatant. Like they wanted you to read the entire title.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to that, honestly.
Well, hopefully people can find us out on Facebook or Twitter and hit us up and let us know what they think on that one. Because that one stuck out to me and I didn't get a lot of responses on that online. So kind of curious about that.
Yeah.
So maybe we could come back on Wednesday if we find out anything and talk about it.
Yeah. What about Carl and his girlfriend, his little...
his emo girl?
Yep, he's gonna have a little crush on this girl.
Yeah, well,
that is what is her name? Enid.
Yeah, it rhymes with emo.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, she was like gonna move. I mean, I get it. I mean, I've never been through a zombie, you know, outbreak, but I'm pretty sure I'd be all messed up in head too. It was kind of cool to see Carl like flip out a little bit, in a good way. Like he was like, "So yeah, so what you want to do? You want to play some games? Play a pool table?" Kind of watch out though, because so and so's dad is kind of strict.
Yeah.
And he was like, "What the hell?" He was like freaking out. But yeah. So I guess he's got this new girl. He's all, I mean, he like the last girl he was kind of swooning over was Beth. I think.
Yeah, I don't know. She escaped Alexander. She snuck out of.
Alexandria, yeah.
And she, we don't know what she did out there, what she's doing, so.
Right, and then, you know, Carl follows after her and loses her. So, that was pretty interesting, because those guys, you know, they've been surviving for a minute.
Right.
They're good in tracking a lot of things. I mean, they're all not strong like Daryl is, but, so, Carl's like, whoa, where'd she go? So, yeah, I'm kind of curious of why she keeps leaving. Maybe... you know, it's because of what Carl feels about Alexandria. Maybe that's what she's trying not to become.
Maybe.
You know, because you remember the conversation between Rick and Carl. You remember that? Like, he was like, "Hey, so what do you think about this place?" He's all, "I mean, it's cool, but, you know, they're soft. I don't want us to get weak."
Well, see, that's the thing is, so Alexandria Safe Zone is soft. It's,
right.
You know, it's a family-oriented place. They're just trying to get on with their lives without any kind of violence or any of that stuff. So, with them running into Rick's group and having them audition and appointing Rick as the, you know, the new sheriff in town and, you know, doing all this stuff, they feel like they have that protection now.
Right, right.
And
well, because that group is there, too, as well, so...
Yeah, so... You know, I think it makes sense that they're trying to pull them in, and because Sasha's going to play a big role too,
right?
Because they're switching Sasha and Maggie's roles from the comics, or no, Maggie and not Maggie, I think it's Sasha and what's her name, Andrea.
Oh, that's right. Because I remember you did say that their roles switched.
In Alexandria, so I don't know if that's the case or if that's what's going on. it's one of those things that we'll have to see again.
Yeah, so that was pretty interesting. To be honest, because we both have, you know, sons, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty sweet to see Carl and Rick get down just them two.
Yeah.
that was bad, man. I was kind of like on my neck. I was like, oh, hell yeah. I mean, because it got down pretty tough, like, so.
Yeah, so with that scene, what were your thoughts about where did his gun go?
So I'm doing the Walking Dead story sync online, and they did bring that up in the sync as well. So it obviously is kind of significant to AMC. People thought it was either Alexandria, another group. I forgot the other two. But yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting to see his gun gone as well. I have thoughts that it could be, what's his name? Morgan? Is it Morgan?
Oh.
Maybe. Because he is tracking. He was tracking them because he knew that they're on their way to Washington.
Right.
So I'm not sure if it's him. For me. Because there's so many variables now. Because, like we said, we brought up the comic books. There's Negan. There's the wolves. And Morgan still, you know, he made appearances already.
Right.
So we don't know if they're bringing him in. I mean, to me, Aaron and Eric and the group is, I mean, the Alexander was a big monkey wrench into where I thought it was going for somebody who hasn't read the comics, you know. But I would, for me, since I haven't read any of the comics, I'm just going out what people say, but I still think it would be like Morgan.
Okay, well.
You know, tracking them.
Here's something you may like, and since you're talking about Morgan.
All right.
He will be in episode 14.
Is that the next one?
Nope, in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
He will be in episode 14, so that's going to be interesting. I want to see that one. That one's called Spend.
Nice. Next week's Forget, so I'm kind of interested on that.
Yeah. I don't know what these damn titles mean, but maybe Forget is Forget Everything They've Become? Went through.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then the season finale is going to be called Try.
Again. Yeah, I'm not sure what that. I just started paying attention to these titles once we started recording, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I honestly didn't know TV shows had titles, like, for their episodes.
Yeah, dude. They all do.
Yeah,
look at Friends.
Yeah.
Theirs is always the one with this, the one with that, the one with, yeah. You know.
Yeah, I guess I didn't pay attention to it. I mean, I knew they were, but I'm just now paying more attention to them now. So not everything now I'm trying to associate with episodes. So, I mean, the titles and things. So that's cool. I can't wait to see what role he plays.
Yeah. So.
So now that we know the gun to take in, it was Glenn. Tara. Golly, I have a friend named Tara. So Tara and then Noah, which doesn't make sense to me. They're in the scouting group, the supply run group.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Because Noah's got the bum leg.
Well, it's funny because my friend calls me, and she calls me and she's like, "Hey, Negan's in this episode," and I'm all, "What?" And you know, I'm watching it. I'm watching it on my computer, and I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "Yeah, they introduced him." She's like, "Watch this part." So I skip the part and I go to that scene where he introduces himself. And he's like, "Oh, I'm Aiden." I was like, "Damn it." Because, excuse me, she was under the assumption that Negan was this badass, you know, foul-mouthed character. And this dude's right. Pretty boy. So she was like, "I don't get it." And I'm just like, "Oh, it's Aiden." So, but back to your question, you were saying, my thoughts on what the group?
Yeah, so you know how Aiden, the politician's son, mm-hmm. right, and runs with another guy. I guess they've been like boys for a minute because they've been doing a lot of supply runs. And they're introducing themselves, and, you know, it's Glenn, Tara, and now Noah. But it doesn't make sense because Noah's got the bum leg. And, you know, I mean, he's obviously limping.
Right.
So why would they put him on a run? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Like, that didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were, like, reaching to throw him there or throw us off. Because, you know, it's obvious a lot of the Walking Dead fans are reanalyzed a lot.
Right.
And I'm noticing myself doing that a lot more. But I was like, why would they put Noah in that group? I mean, there's so many capable people who could handle that. I mean, Abraham.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have any of those others, you know, do the runs. They put Noah. So that was kind of interesting to me to see that group get paired off like that.
Right.
So I didn't know if you had any thoughts on that. It just kind of stuck out to me because I also tweeted that too, because I was like, why did they put him in there?
Yeah.
MC, tell me.
Yeah, that, I don't know. But I do know, you know, well, if they keep it to the comics, Nicholas is going to be a problem for Rick.
Nicholas?
Yeah, because basically the way it happens in the comics is Rick and them take over Alexandria. It's their spot now.
Right, right.
You know, and that, you know, that led to the end of this episode where he's like saying something about, we'll just take this community from them or something.
Yeah, if they can't make it, if they can't survive, or if they don't do it right, we're just going to end up taking it.
Yeah, which is badass, I think.
Dude, that's when I was like juiced, because at first I was like, wow. So I remember I said earlier in the podcast, I was like, wow, they're all trying to give into this a little too quick for me.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden Rick says at the end, you know, if they can't do it, we're just going to take it. Like, it was so thug life.
Yeah.
That deserves a, by the way, that's a hint to you to make a little meme on that.
A thug life?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But back to this whole run thing. Well, the only reason I brought up Nicholas, because he was went out on the run.
Yeah, yeah.
With Aiden and Glenn, Noah, and Tara.
Well, it makes sense because those guys are kind of like boys, so they look like troublemakers already. And the fact that the politician was kind of juiced about the incidents that happened that led up to Rick being, you know, asked to be the constable was kind of neat. So you can kind of see there's already issues within that group because since they're the ones who constantly go out for runs, they're obviously the strongest ones of the group.
Right.
As far as physically and surviving, because they kind of know how to survive.
Well, okay, so real kinda quick about the whole run thing. So they run into a walker that Aiden and Nicholas tied up. You know, the walker escaped, and Tara ends up killing the walker. Or no, Glenn.
Glenn does.
Because Tara's trying to get it off of her. And, you know, Aiden and Nicholas don't want them to kill this walker.
Right.
Because it sets their mind right, because they had lost four people.
Yeah, four group. The last supply run group with them, the other half.
Right. So Glenn, in Glenn's mind, he's like, these guys don't know what they're doing.
Exactly.
You know, so he, you know, he ends up killing the walker, and him and Aiden get into it when they return back to the safe zone. Glenn puts him on his ass, puts Aiden on his ass, and Nicholas tries to go after Glenn, and you see Daryl come in and basically spear the dude. And
yeah, he did, like, yeah, he hooked him up.
And, you know, Rick is pulling Daryl off.
Right.
You know, and so at that time, Deanna appoints Rick as the constable, and Michonne as well. And if you notice, Daryl wasn't happy about it.
Yeah, he was highly upset, to be honest. He walked away as in Daryl fashion and was pissed, literally.
Yeah, so something's going on with Daryl right now, and I can't tell what it is, but
yeah. I have an idea.
He's
but
jealous.
I don't know. Not jealous, but I think he's tired of putting his guard down. I think. Because every time he does have a, not a, like a little, he lets somebody in his world or something good happens to them, it gets taken away immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets taken away in like brutal, horrible fashion.
Right.
And so, I mean.
That leads to, you know, they posted, you know, a little teaser of the season finale, and it said that Daryl Hat runs into some trouble outside of the safe zone.
Right. So there was a lot of that going on as far as a not spoiler, but teasers going on about Daryl outside of safe zone runs into trouble.
So, I mean, I don't know what kind of trouble he runs into. I'm starting to think. Remember my prediction that Glenn would be dying
by yes. Negan? Right.
I'm starting to think it's going to be Daryl. Yeah. They're going to really flip the you know, they're going to make, everybody is so thinking that Glenn's going to die by the hands of Negan because of the baseball bat and all those references and stuff like that. You know, issue 100 is where he killed Glenn. But Daryl was never in the comics, and he became a really popular character, and just make an impact, get good ratings, you know, just blow up the internet.
Break the internet.
I think it's either going to be Glenn or it's going to be Daryl that dies by Negan.
Yeah, I mean, I concur, because like I said, when you're feeding off your predictions, not really predictions, it was feeding off the comic book. But again, you said earlier, Sasha switched roles with Andrea, right?
Right.
So it's obvious that it can happen to any character. They switch roles as far as the responsibilities in the season of the TV series. So.
Yeah. That
makes me believe it too.
Yeah, I'm going to call it Daryl's going to die. That is my prediction.
They have to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're introducing a lot of new characters. Somebody major is going to go.
Oh, maybe a few, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's The Walking Dead.
That's true.
So, yeah, so what else happened in tonight's episode?
We kind of said the ending already.
Yeah.
With Rick saying they're going to they'll just end up taking over if things don't go the way they want it to go.
Right. As far. Right.
And then they do the reference when Rick was coming out of getting out of the house in his sheriff looking uniform.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of went back to their videotape.
Oh, they did. That's right.
And they said, you know, it's all about surviving. So it's not like he wants to be a jerk about it. He doesn't want people to die. So if he has to take over because they're the best surviving group, then he's going to take over.
And he should. I mean, I don't think having him as a sheriff or a constable, you know, in Alexandria is a good idea. Because right. He can't set his mind on people that break the law, you right. know, in Alexandria. He has to worry about people coming in and, you know, all that stuff. Right. That should be the priority of walkers and humans coming in and stuff like that, rather than worry about, oh, someone's broke into a house and stole something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm hoping that's what it is. I'm hoping that's what Deanna's mind's, you know, thought process was.
Yeah.
Because I think that's wrong too. I mean, because now that Rick's there, he's gonna put her son in check because she can't do it.
Right.
You know, or, you know, people getting out of line, you know, breaking up fights. I mean, that's not his role. And I hope that's not what she thinks. Because, again, you know, why did she make Michonne that one, too?
I don't know.
Because Michonne's a fighter. She's a survivor. You see what I'm saying?
I would have, I don't know. I was hoping they would just say, hey, Daryl, you want this job, too?
Yeah. They looked at Daryl like, ha.
Yeah. Yeah, so, really, aside from that, that's all that went on.
That's all that episode. Went on tonight. Yeah, it was a good episode, though.
Pace that this show is going. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are probably going to bitch about tonight's episode.
So far, I haven't seen any.
Oh, I'll see some.
Well, there always will be somebody. I mean, some group.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't see any yet so far.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll run into something. But I thought it was a great episode. I like the way, like I said, I like the way the pace is going on this show.
Yeah, so, me too.
You know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens the next three episodes.
Exactly. Can't wait. It
should be interesting. So, that's all for tonight. Did you want to say anything before we close it out?
Nope. As usual, just follow us. We're on Facebook, Twitter. We even have YouTube and Instagram. And our website, nerdnews.com.
That's right. And, of course, thank you to all our followers. And be sure to rate and review this podcast on iTunes.
There was an idea called the
Nerd
Initiative. The idea was to bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they could become something more. See if they could work together when we needed them to.